Stand with me and turn to page 379 and sing the first three verses of There's a Fountain with me.
the ushers please come down?
Please remember our fellowship next Sunday evening after the service. There's a sign-up sheet down front where you can sign up for the items you bring, like appetizers, sandwiches, etc. See Miss Amanda if you have any questions. Please remember our young people, as most of them will be turning to school in the next week or so. Please remember those on our prayer list. James Townsend is home from the hospital. Please remember him as he continues to recover. David Henderson continues to recover at home, and we expect him and Miss Glenda to be back with us next week. Please remember Larry Bennett, who has COVID. Miss Mary Ann Sanvi will be having foot surgery this week. And please remember Miss Ruby Harper, who will be having brain surgery tomorrow. Could you please pray for us, Brother Shelon?
If you could see who I was before.
Alaska doing a lawsuit. We're way out in the Aleutian Islands, getting ready to leave and go back to Anchorage and then home. And I had a ticket in my pocket to get on an airplane. The pastor came up and he said, listen, I can save you money. I said, how's that? He said, I flew a small airplane up here. And I fly a small airplane, and I can take you in my little airplane, and you can save your ticket. And this did not sound, I said, gee, thank you so very, very much. But I've got this ticket. We'll just make our way on home, me and this other lawyer with me. He said, no, 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 you got to do it, you got to do it. And against every better judgment I had, I said, okay. Well, we went out to the airport, took us by his little plane, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, one good thing, it's shiny. Then he walked around it. We got in. He's on the left front. I'm on the right front. The other lawyer's sitting right behind me. And he started it up. And it started up just fine. Well, we taxied out. I said, should we pray? He said, yeah, that's a good idea. We normally don't. I said, well, this time we're gonna. And I'm telling you, I prayed 5-8 minutes. I prayed a long time. We went and got on the runway. He starts down the runway. The plane lifted off ever so gently, and we start climbing. And it's wonderful. Not a problem in the world. We started climbing, and we flew probably 3-4 minutes. And something happened that will never leave my mind. The pilot turned to me, and he said, we're going in the clouds, and I can't fly in clouds. They make me pass out. I said, clouds make you do what? Now, it's been cloudy all day. And we go right up into the clouds, and you can't see anything. And he looks at me, and his eyes roll back in his head. And he starts mumbling, and he passes out. Passed out cold. Now, I grabbed him, and I shook him, and I said, come on, you got to wake up so I can kill you. Now, we're in the clouds, flying along with no pilot. And my friend in the back seat said, we're dead, aren't we? I said, there's a very good chance of that, yes. He said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. But there was a radio right there, and I handed him the microphone, and I said, start asking for help. So he's in the back seat reaching up, and he said, hello, hello. We didn't know any proper radio etiquette. All we were saying was hello. And somebody answered back, hello, hello. Don't you guys know proper radio etiquette? And I said, give it to me. I said, we don't know nothing. Tell him we're in an airplane with a passed out pilot and we don't know how to fly this plane. The guy said, I'm a freighter flying out of Anchorage on the way to Tokyo. And he said, you're telling me you have nobody who can fly that plane with you? I said, tell him that's correct. Now you got to understand, I am sweating bullets. He said, the first thing I'm going to do is start circling so I don't lose you. Because I'll fly out of range of your radio and you won't have me anymore. And he said, I'm going to get Anchorage emergency for you. An Anchorage emergency will be the people that can maybe help you. Try to save your life. After about 5 minutes, Anchorage came on, said, we understand you have a passed out pilot, and those of you do not know how to fly that plane. We said, that's right. They said, well, the first thing we got to do is find you. And I'll never forget what this man at Anchorage said. He said, my job is to get you home safe. He said, that's my job. But he said, here's the deal. If you want me to get you home safe, you got to promise me you'll obey my voice. He said, you can't see me, but I can see you. And he said, if you're not going to obey my voice, you're going to die. When you can't see anything, you have no idea how disorientated you become. Finally, he said, okay, I found you. Now hear me clear. He said, you're 4 minutes from a mountain. He said, you're going to crash in that mountain and die. Follow my voice. I never said, I have to follow your voice? Is that reasonable? You see, I understood without his voice, I had nothing. And do you understand? Without God's voice, you have nothing. Nothing. Finally, he got us turned. And he said, I'm freezing all the traffic in the area. He said, it's going to take me an hour and a half to get you to Anchorage, and there's a lot of weather between you and Anchorage. You're in for a rough ride. And he said, I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look at what's going on outside. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm. Just my voice. He said, if you start watching the storm, you will die. But I'll take you through it. Now, because they cleared all the traffic, several pilots, those nighttime freighters, those 747s, started talking to us. They said, we're praying for you, men. You're going to make it. to listen to the voice. That's the key. They said, trust the voice. You realize your head is full of voices, and everybody in this world wants to talk to you, and everybody wants to be the controlling voice. And God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to put yourself on the altar and let my voice be your voice. Finally, we went through the worst of the weather, but there was still more. And then the voice came back and he said, now, I'm going to line you up. He said, I'm going to bring you in right down the runway. And at the foot of the runway are some lights, and they're in the form of a cross. He said, don't you forget this. The cross is the way home. Finally, he's bringing us down. We still can't see anything. And all he kept saying is, stay with me. My sheep, the Bible says, hear my voice and they follow me. Finally, just a couple hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. I landed the plane. In fact, I landed it 7 times. Finally, it all came to a stop. And the minute we stopped, the pilot woke up. The voice said, thanks for listening. I watch them crash and burn all the time because they won't follow my voice. They don't understand I'm the one who can see them even when they can't see me. But they get the voices in their head and they kill themselves. They self-destruct. Thanks for listening to the voice. Then they put us in a motel room at about 4 in the morning. They knock at my door. And I open the door and man was standing there. He said, hello, David. I said, you're the voice. You're the one who got me home. He said, I am. Do you understand one day you're going to stand before him and say, you were the voice. You're the voice that brought me home. If you're not on that altar as a living sacrifice, your head's full of voices. And then we wonder why kids crash and burn. We wonder why marriages are shattered. And the Lord's saying, I'm the one who has the voice. All I can remember is that voice saying, stay with me. Stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head and don't watch the storm. Stay with me. And I'll take you through. Tonight you have a God who has promised to take you through. A living sacrifice, holy. I was in Alaska doing a lawsuit.
Well, I hope you can relate to that video. I hope you can look back over your life and realize that there were times that God, he was speaking to you and he guided you away from disaster. So our young people could see it, because there are there a few folks in the church who raise your hand and say the voice is protected. God reached into my life and guided me across the room, no doubt about it. Maybe the Lord's guided you and done some things. You know what would have happened if I hadn't heard the voice of this, the voice? I would have missed out on you guys. When I was a teenager, I was literally leaving my parents' neighborhood, pulled down to the end stop sign, and I literally asked the Lord. I don't even know if I'd ever heard from him before. But I said, Lord, where do you want me to go to church? Not even expecting him to answer me. Literally not even expecting him. I've been reading my Bible voraciously. Where do you want me to go to church? And clear as day, God told me to come to Calvary Baptist Church, where I met that children's home and I met that girl. And in one day, in one prayer time, God told me to marry that girl and go to that children's home. And look, all the joys I would have missed out on if I had not followed that voice. And I am so grateful for that. And tonight we have a special treat. One of the young men at our children's home is going to preach for us tonight. His name is Cal Brook. I hope he'll share a little bit of his story. And I pray you'll open your heart to the voice of God as he delivers the truth. Would you give it up for Kevin?
I just first want to say, I want to say it's an honor for me to be able to speak here today. You know, this is my home. So anytime that I do get an opportunity, I want to make sure that I say thank you. And I also want to thank the Lord for, this is going to sound strange to maybe some of you, for not playing the video this morning. I really feel like what the Lord has placed on my heart will relate to what I'm going to say today. And I also, this is strange, I want to apologize for the way that I'm dressed. I only have one suit jacket, and we're moving in our house, So I got a stain on it, so I can't wear it today, so I would like to apologize for that. But if you would please turn to Genesis chapter number 3, and we'll start in verse number 1. And I would like to pray while y'all are searching that out. Dear Lord Father, I thank you for today, Father. Father God, I thank you for your kindness to me. Father God, I thank you, Father God, that you touch me, Father. Father God, I thank you for your voice. Father God, I ask that you help me to hear your voice, Father. Father God, I ask that you give me strength during this time. Father God, I ask that you lay your hands on me. Father God, I need your help. Father God, may it not be me that they see, Father. But God, may it be your son. Father God, I need your help. Father God, I fall at your feet. Father God, I ask for your help today. I ask that you touch me. Father God, may you be glorified. Father God, I ask all these things in your holy son's name. And in your son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so I want to start in Genesis chapter number 3. And I will read all the way to verse number 13. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now I want you to see the first time in all of Scripture that we see Satan, the first thing he does is he questions the word of God. He says, Yea, hath God said. Satan is saying, Did God really say? In some other translations, that's actually what he says. Satan says, Did God really say that? And Satan wants you to believe that what God says is not what God says. So he lied. Directly he lied. He said, ye shall not surely die. He lied directly to Eve. And Eve believed the lie. See, I believe that sin did not start in her actions. I believe that sin started when she believed the lie. Eve ate of the fruit because she believed what Satan said, that she would not die. So Eve took of the fruit, and that is where sin began. Because Eve believed a lie. Today I want to preach about the consequences of believing a lie. In Genesis 3, in verse 8 through 10, it says, And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now I want to remind y'all that before this time, Adam had walked with the Lord in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. Never had this happened before. Adam was never afraid of God. Adam was never afraid of anything. Fear happened when Adam and Eve believed a lie. And that's what happens when you believe a lie, it creates fear. If you would please go to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I want to remind you that we're talking about what it's like to believe a lie. And I just want to emphasize that that video talked about knowing the voice of God. And the voice of God always speaks truth. Amen. So starting in verse number 3. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants, and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Then Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. I want you to see that the armor of Saul weighs 125 pounds. So the armor of Goliath is 125 pounds, and he's over 9 feet tall, and he has a man that carries his shield. He also says that they are the servants of Saul. Realize that the Philistine, Goliath, does not say you are the servants of God. He lied to them. He said, you serve only Saul. He did not want them to believe, or Goliath did not want them to believe that they served God. If you would please go back to 1 Samuel chapter number 8. And we'll start in verse number 6. And it says, But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me, and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. The people of Israel, before Goliath came, they believed that the armies and the nations around them had it better. They believed the lie that Satan fed to them, that the armies and the nations around them had it better because they had a king. They failed to see that their king was God. And that Goliath fed them the same exact lie. You don't serve God, you serve Saul. They believe their lie, and I believe that's where they lost the battle, where the people of Israel began to lose. But I'm so thankful that sometimes God has people that know the truth, and he sends them when we need them. If you would please go to 1 Samuel chapter number 17 again, and we're going to start in verse number 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines and spoke according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be to the man that killeth him. Now we see that the people said, Goliath defies Israel. David said, They defy the armies of the living God. David knew the truth. That's why David was not afraid. David was not scared of Goliath because he knew the truth. He knew that they did not defy Israel. They did not defy Saul. They defied the armies of the living God. And I hope that by the grace of God that I can show you this, that I can show you that God gives us truth and that we can stand on these truths. If you would please go to the same chapter, chapter 17, and go to verse number 32. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Saul believed a lie. Saul said, You can't kill him. You can't do it because you're just a youth. And this man has been a man of war since his youth. David said, no, you don't understand. God will deliver me. And I want you to see something. The reason why David believes that he will be delivered, he says, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Amen. He didn't say, because I killed the lion, because I killed the bear. He said, he will go down because he defies God. Amen. Not because David is strong. Not because David is great, but because the God that David serves is great. Amen. If you would please go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we'll start in verse number 40. And he, this is speaking of David, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Goliath comes against David, and he says, I will kill you. Another lie. Now, can you imagine a man that is 9 foot tall? He has armor that weighs 125 pounds, and there was another man. His shield was so large, another man had to carry it for him. And he says, I will kill you and feed you to the birds. And David looks at him, and he says, no, you got it wrong. I will feed you to the birds. Why? Because my God will deliver me. Not because I am great, but because I will not fear you, because my God, he will deliver me. Amen. David knew the truth. He was not going to believe the lie that he was fed by his own friends, but not only that, by the enemy. He's not going to believe it. He had faith in his God. If you would please go to chapter 17 and starting in verse number 52. Oh, forgive me. Actually, I'll read the whole passage, actually. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. David said, by the hand of God, you will be delivered into my hand. And we see it happens. David did not have a sword, but David trusted his God that the enemy would be delivered into his hand. He took the sword of the enemy, and he cut off the head of the enemy. Every time that a fear comes into your life, it is not the fear of God. If it is bringing you further away from the Lord, it is not from the Lord. If you are afraid of something, it's not from God. The Bible says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. David knew the truth. David knew that his God had delivered his people from Pharaoh. He knew that God had delivered his people from the walls of Jericho. He had delivered them, and David knew this. David was not afraid because he knew the truth. He knew the voice of God. I believe that there were times that David read the scripture. How could he know his God so well? Maybe he spoke to him. I'm not sure, but I do know that he knew the truth. And he believed it, and that's what he fell on. It was not by his hand, but by the hand of God. I want you to see that there's victory. Watch David. He has victory over this giant. This man was 9 foot tall. I have a friend. Well, I guess I wouldn't say he's my friend, but he's friends of my friends. And he's 6 foot and probably about 9 inches. And I have to look up, you know, almost directly straight up to look at him. Can you imagine what a 9 foot tall man is like? Can you See, in my mind, I picture, firstly, a 9-foot-tall man would be skinny. No, he was a man of war. This man was massive. He was not some small little man. David, without a doubt, had to look up to him. David's stone was probably tiny compared to the forehead of the Philistine. But David was not afraid. Why? Because he knew his God was far bigger than Goliath. He knew that his God would deliver him. We have to understand that. I would like for you to please turn to Psalms 27. Because I know that personally, in the past few months specifically, I've struggled with some personal fears. And the Lord has shown me some things in my life. He's proven to me that he will deliver me. Psalms 27, and I would like to read verses 1 through 3. This is a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came up upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart should not fear. Though war should rise against me, and this will I be confident. One thing have I desired. I'll read this next verse. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David said, I will not be afraid of the enemies that are around me. I will not be afraid of these fears that lie to me. Why? Because my God is with me. And David saw him be delivered many times. David knew the truth. Remember the voice? You want to know the voice? It's in the book. I promise you, he will help you. Listen to him. It's in the book. Your God will deliver you. If you would please turn to Psalms number 23. Psalms 23. I would like to read just a few of these verses because I know that the Lord helps me through the word. And I hope that if there's one person who struggles with fear, because I know that I struggle with fear myself, that he would help you in his word. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Remember who our enemy is. Satan lies to you. Don't listen to him. He's a liar. David knew the truth. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David knew the truth because he knew something. He saw God. And in the truth is that where he got strength. He was not afraid to fight this Goliath. Why? Because he knew the truth. He came to him. He said, because you have defied the armies of the living God. That fear that comes to you, you can say, I will not be afraid because this fear defies the child of God. I will not be afraid. I will stand and be strong, and I will believe these truths because God will deliver me from them. If you would please turn to Psalms 118. Psalms 118, and I will start in verse number 5, and I'll read to verse number 9. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. See what the book says? Don't trust men. Don't trust what Saul says. There's some Sauls in your life. I know there's some Sauls in mine that say you should be afraid, that you won't be delivered. There's some Sauls in my life, but I will believe the Lord when he says, I will deliver you. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for us to be afraid. Remember the verse that I told you? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul then says, I will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no fear when you walk with him. Read his word and he will give you strength. He will deliver you from the hands of your enemies. Don't listen to those fears. They're lies. That's Satan's favorite thing to do, is to lie to you and to tell you fears so that you cannot be strong in his word. When you sin, he will say, run from God. You can't trust him. You just sinned. There's no, where can you go? Well, I say, run to him. Where else is there to go? If you sinned, you must go to him. You must fall on him. If you have sinned, don't be afraid of him. He's the only one that can help you. Don't listen to the fears that are in your life. The fears to change, to be more holy, to look more like Christ, to love people who don't love you. Don't be afraid. Those lies, they're not true. They're not true. I have two more points, and I believe the Lord has spoken to me on some things. And if you would please go to 1 Judges, starting in chapter number 19. Or not 1 Judges, forgive me, I'm sorry, 1 Kings. 1 Kings, number 19. And I would like to start in verse number 9. And this is speaking about Elijah. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out, and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. There's another lie that Satan wants you to believe, and it's to be lost in sorrow. Because sometimes I know that we can sin, and we can be full of sorrow. Not godly sorrow, because the Bible says that godly sorrow leads to repentance, but sorrow of a sadness that we can't move on, or a sorrow we feel self-pity. I want you to see the lies of the devil says, no one is here for you, no one will help you, and you are alone. God said to Elisha, I have left you 7,000 in Israel. Elisha didn't know that until God told him. He didn't know that because the Lord told him to go away from Israel for a time. There were 7,000 people left in Israel for him. The devil does the same exact thing for us. He'll say, you're the only one trying to be holy. You're the only one reading that Bible. You're the only one praying. No one's there with you. Don't listen to that. That's not true. Amen. The Bible says that there is a remnant of people who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a great cloud of witnesses. The Bible also says to throw off the weights that so easily beset us. Sorrows beset us. They take away our courage. They take away our strength. They make us to be afraid. Sorrows are not from the Lord. He gives us joy and he gives us strength. The enemy will tempt you with sorrow. Don't listen to him. The Bible says he will never leave me nor forsake me. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy where he says you are alone. That's not true. Amen. I hope that we can see that the lies of the devil are always to destroy us. And they always take some truth of God and twist it. Remember Satan said, yea, hath God said? And he didn't say, God said you can eat no trees. Or he didn't say, God said you can't eat. He just twisted it just a little bit. Just a little bit. And he also said, God's holding out on you. There's something that God is holding back from you. And that's some of the lies that the enemy will tell us. Don't listen to those lies. And there's one more lie that I would like to speak about, and I really feel like this is something that the Lord laid on my heart. It's the same lie that Satan told from the beginning. Satan said, "Ye shall not surely die." Now we know that in our flesh we will die, but Satan says this: "You will not die eternally. God won't send you to hell. He'll forgive everyone. I promise." That's a lie. The enemy loves to lie to us. That's not true. That's not true. The Bible says it is appointed once unto a man to die and then the judgment. It's very clear. The Bible makes it very clear that there will be a day that we will all stand before the Lord and we will be judged. Now, if you would please go to 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. And starting in verse number 6, and it says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Another lie that Satan says that has to do with death is you can live in sin and still have heaven. That you can do whatever you want, you can live however you please, and still have heaven. The Bible makes it very clear. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I also want to say that this is one lie. I just want to make sure that those who believe do understand that I'm not saying you have to be sinless. Because the next verse says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." But the devil will lie to you. He says, you can walk in darkness, do as you please, do what you want. And the word believes this, do what you want, serve whoever you please, and one day you will die, stand before God, and he will forgive you. That is not true. I'll tell you what he did. He sent his son to die on a cross. Why? Because that's what you deserve. You deserve a death. I deserve a death. Why? Because we have sinned against a holy God, and he is perfect. And he is a judge, and he must judge us, because he is a good judge. He must judge us. And we will stand before him one day, all of us guilty, every single one of us. Me, Paul says, I am the chief of sinners. We will all be guilty, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. I thank God, though, it does not end there. He says, but it is the gift of Jesus Christ. There is grace. He died on that cross and bore your sins. Christian, somebody, please, a Christian in here, listen to me. Understand this. Jesus Christ paid for your sins. That's why we don't have to be afraid. That's why we don't have to be sorrowful. And that's why one day we don't have to die. Jesus Christ said that you can live eternally through him. There is life in him. We all know it. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him," not a lie, believe the truth. Jesus Christ calls himself the truth. "Whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Amen. That is great news for me. Because I can see Jesus Christ on the cross and I say, if he can take that, I'm not going to be afraid. Because he can deliver me. If he can deliver himself from death, he can deliver me from anything. I will not be afraid. I will stand before the enemy and I will preach the gospel. Some of you know, because you are my friends and I speak to you. Some of you don't know, but preaching like this does scare me very much. And I get very nervous, and the Lord God is, he's so very kind to me. But I get very afraid. The only reason I have the strength to do this is because I know the Lord my God, he will deliver me. I know that he will help me. And when I get scared, I fall on him. I say, oh God, please help me. And every time he is faithful. When I become sorrowful, The Lord, he reminds me that he is my joy and he is my hope, and I can fall on him. I see him on the cross saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And in my heart, I know it's because God will never leave me. He had to leave his son so that he can stay with me. I will never, ever be sorrowful. If it is by the hand of God, I ask him that he gives me strength to never be sorrowful, that I may walk in joy for the rest of my life. Because it is the fruit of the Spirit to walk in joy. We must have peace with him. Trust in him. I believe truly that these are the things that the Lord has laid on my heart. And like I said, I get very nervous doing these things. But I fall on the Lord and I do as he tells me to do. And I don't know who needed this today, but I know that I needed it. You know, the Lord reminds me of his faithfulness to me. He reminds me of his kindness. He reminds me of his grace. And without him, some of you don't understand how wicked I am. Without him, I would be nowhere. He saved my life. In every way, he saved my life. And I just I want to thank you for listening to me today. And it's truly my pleasure. I ask that the Lord bless you today. Thank you.
invitation is given. If you need to come, come tonight. Start your week off the right way. Anyone? These altars are open for anything tonight. Say that, first of all, did you enjoy the message tonight? Say amen. This morning, as I normally do on Sunday mornings, it's just the way things are nowadays, but I do get on Facebook, and I do that, though, to prepare with invitations to everyone. I try to put up a little story from our page with some kind of line or phrase that might encourage people. And this morning, I put on our personal story, our page, if there's a Goliath in front of you, it must mean God has a David inside you. And that's true today. You can be strong in Jesus. You can lean on Him. Nothing more needs to be said. Brother Kevin did an outstanding job. But truly tonight, our victory, our ability, our power is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Kevin, I want to say, brother, I've been preaching a while and I still get nervous every time. I mean, I shake in my boots. I do. I do. I got to shake all that stuff out before I stand up and speak. And I've been saying for a while now, Lord, give me a clear head and a calm heart. And actually, I got that from a movie with... It was a horse movie, and the old man wrangler said, "Don't you dare jump on that horse without a clear head and a calm heart. Don't you dare do it." And so in my prayer time one day, I was praying, and I just said that out of nowhere, and it really helped me. But Kevin, we're all in the same boat with that, buddy. We rely on the Lord, and as you know, and then God uses us, and He used you tonight. I appreciate that. And be sure you tell Brother Kevin thank you for that. And Brother Brian this morning, what a tremendous message this morning. Tremendous message as of tonight. I do want to encourage you to continue to remember tonight in prayer for tomorrow morning, Miss Ruby Harper, as Brother Brian stated this morning. And you say that's your aunt, brother? Aunt. And so let's pray for her. And in fact, we'll have a closing prayer for these. Miss Marianne, and that surgery date is on Thursday, and so she's actually going to see the doctor that performed the surgery on BJ. Is that right? See what happens when I try to give the details. That's all right. Next time I'll keep it simple. So anyway, remember Miss Marianne on Thursday. And then let me say something. I have to say this. I have to say this or I'm going to be in big time trouble. Michael and Shauna Bendy are moving to Alabama. But, they're coming to church here in Georgia on every Sunday. And so, how'd I do, Miss Shauna? I do all right. She gave me a Bama thumbs up, so I guess I did okay. All right, just wanted to mention that. Do remember them, though, as they get ready to move back to their, I would say home place, but where they're from, I guess, originally. But going to miss having them around and me and Brother Michael went out to eat not long ago. We had a good time and going to miss those easy, quick connections, but they say they're going to be coming back. We pray that happens, and we love them. And they're going to be moving this week, I believe on Thursday. Is that right? Somebody told me. I messed up again, but somebody told me it was going from Sunday Saturday to Thursday, am I right? I give up. I give up. And so if you have an opening in your calendar, your schedule, and you can help, just help move things in the U-Haul. They're going to go to Alabama, and they'll have a team of people waiting there from their family and such. And that's just coming up Saturday. And so remember that. All right, all hearts clear before we go. I do want to close in a good word of prayer for these having surgery this week. All right. Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. Miss Connie. That's right. Say, Tom, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, Tom. Yes, ma'am. Amani?
I forgot to say this when I was talking earlier, but towards the end of camp, after our last service, I met somebody who knows my uncle's out there, and they told me that they could share the gospel with me, and I asked them to never let up on them because that's how my family was broken right now. So I asked the elders to pray for my uncle and find a better way to put my family in charge.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Miss Pam? Anyone else? Jeff? Okay. We'll remember him. We sure will. We sure will. Anyone else? Don't want to leave anybody out. All right. Okay. All right, well, let's pray tonight, and we'll just take a moment to really lift these up in prayer, and then at the conclusion of that prayer, you'll be dismissed. Everyone have a great and safe week. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight, Lord, and we call upon you with thankful hearts, grateful hearts. Lord, I am so very thankful for the two services today. Lord, how you used our young people this morning, our girls to sing, and tonight the very same thing. Lord, the message this morning, the message tonight, Brother Kevin in Bible College, Bible Christian College, him going back, Lord, you've just showered your blessings down upon us today. We have so much to be thankful and grateful for. You are doing, continuing to do a great work here at Calvary, and we never will take that for granted. Tonight, God, we do call upon you to touch Miss Ruby Harper. As Brother Brian prayed this morning, we pray right underneath that prayer that you would touch her, help her, guide the hands of the doctors. Lord, we pray for a miracle. We pray that you would just show out, Lord, show out like you do sometimes so that you might get the praise. And Lord, we pray the same thing for Miss Mary Ann as she goes on Thursday for her foot surgery, that you'll touch her and guide the hands of those doctors and let this foot repair, Lord, be a success. And Lord, we pray for the Bendys as they get ready to move back to Alabama. Lord, give them a successful journey back. I pray there'll be plenty of help to get them loaded up. Let there be a receiving end on the other side in Alabama. And Lord, just let things go exceeding well from her health, Lord, to finances, to all of it. We just want them to flourish, Lord. Get them safely back and forth to church here each week. Lord, we're just thankful once again for the crowds you've given today. Bless those that watch faithfully and bless our church as we continue to attempt to bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everyone have a wonderful night.